Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. So this parable of the wheat and the tares, for those of us who grew up with the King James Version, is probably one of our favorite and most difficult parables. And it's not really a parable in the end, right? Because parables, Jesus doesn't usually explain all that much. But this time, he tells the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And his disciples come and say, okay, thanks for that story. That was very nice. What did that mean? And Jesus explains it. The problem is that we take Jesus' parable and his explanation almost too literally. And we make of it a kind of moral tale. The same thing happened with the story of Jacob's ladder. Over time, this very simple vision of God's moving in and out and through Bethel, the holy place, this dream about how God is present in Bethel, in earth, in that space, becomes a morality tale. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Help me, Bobby, how's it go? Jacob's. Higher, higher. Climbing and climbing. We're getting. Exactly. We're getting better and better every day, and we're getting closer to God if we just climb a little bit. Oh, I slipped. And then I climb again. There's only one problem. It has nothing to do with the story of Jacob. But we took this powerful, interesting story and turned it into a morality tale about our own salvation. What we miss is that Jacob sleeping on the stone awakens from his dream. Jacob, that schemer, as his name is called, the grabber, the stealer of the inheritance, the wrestler with God, the founder of a nation, wakes up from his dream and he says, I had no idea God was in this place. And then he says the equivalent, the Hebrew equivalent of, what an awesome place. And it is awesome because God is here. Jacob is still Jacob. Jacob is still the same scheming, difficult, self-obsessed person he was before his nap. But what has changed is that he begins finally with an inkling to understand that God is present for him and forever. It's a shame that we've taken that powerful story of grace and God's generosity and turned it into a song or an understanding or a theological principle that says that we just need to work a little harder and climb a little higher, make things just a little better, and then we will experience God. We've made it into sort of a hike, right? Have you ever hiked on the north shore, for instance, of Kauai, or the south shore of Kauai? You walk up this long, long hill, and it's pretty horrible because there's no trees, and it's hot, and you're going down to the southern end of the island, and you're just slogging along. And then suddenly you walk over the hill, and you see everything, the glory of God's creation. But you got to work harder to get there. It's the Protestant way of thinking about God. But in Jacob's dream, God gives the gift of an awesome place. And he says to Jacob, here your whole generation will grow up, and a people will become who they are meant to be, and they will be as numerous as the sands. And then God says, and I promise you, I will not leave you until this has been accomplished. We do that same kind of morality play with Jesus' parable about the wheat and the weeds. We make this story that was probably Jesus' reaction, or not Jesus' reaction, but Matthew's reaction to a community in which people were starting to fall away, starting to move away from the movement and go back to what they had done before. And the people come to Jesus and they're asking the question, what's going on, right? Same question that gets asked the council when people leave a church, right? What did you do wrong? They want to know what it is. And Jesus says, look, there are good seed has been sown, and somehow the enemy has also put in bad seed. Let them grow up together. And we make of that a way to kind of give ourselves permission to decide who is wheat and who is weed. What is good and what is evil. There are even churches. I spent 17 and a half years in Kansas. I love Kansas. It's a beautiful place. But in one of the churches in Topeka, they were very clear about who were wheats, who was wheat, and who was weeds. Oh, you guys are awesome. That's it. Kill the child on the way. Lawsuit waiting to happen. Thank you, Chuck. Guide, help. What a blessing. Your timing is excellent. Super. So they would decide if you were a certain sexuality, or you were a certain political bent, or you were a certain kind of person, you were clearly and unalterably a weed. And you were not welcome. It's a terrible misinterpretation of this text. One morning early, I was out. There's an advantage to being in Kansas for 17 years, especially rural Kansas, because you see a lot of wheat. I mean a lot of wheat. And early in my tenure at St. John Lutheran in Athol, Kansas, having been raised in Phoenix, Arizona, and living a good bit of my life in Southern California, I could tell you about waves and surfing. I didn't know from wheat. So we were standing at the fence line as the wheat had just begun to come up. Just popped out of the ground. Every farmer goes to look. Now you would think after 40 years of being in farming, you would stop doing that. They can't resist. They walk to the fence line as the wheat is popping up out of the ground. And he says, looks like it's going to be a good harvest this year, maybe, or at least it's a good start. So you see, isn't that wheat beautiful? And I said, what wheat would that be? That's a lot of grass. Are you sure you're in the right field? He says, no, that's wheat. Because when wheat comes up, it looks like exactly like grass. And then off to the right-hand side was kind of a low area. And it was really thick with grass. And I said, boy, I bet that's going to make a lot of wheat. And he says, that's not wheat. And I said, how can you tell? And he says, it's not in straight rows. For every intent, for all intents and purposes, at the beginning of wheat's life, it's identical to grass, because wheat is, it's grass. You can't tell the difference till quite a bit later. That's really at the core of this parable. For all of our efforts and all of our desires, we cannot tell the difference between wheat and weeds. And I think from Jesus' parable, nor should we try. Because it turns out that not only do wheat and weeds grow together, they are together within us. We are wheat and weed. Look at Jacob, the father of a nation, the blessed one of God, after whom God will call the entire nation of Israel. Could there be a weedier person than him? Schemer, stealer, taker of his brother's blessing, scheming rat in so many ways, wrestler with God, wheat and weed, and receiver of God's promise. Perhaps we ought to be careful how we see this parable. For if we are wheat and weed, we too stand in need of God's blessing and God's love. And the message on the ladder, you see, is for us. And it's not that you should climb higher and faster and work harder that you could find God's approval, but that it is the bearer of God's grace that we should be one ohana. That together, each one of us is blessed to be part of an awesome, awesome place, where God's promises ring true for wheat and weed. And we pray for that blessing to be our blessing, for we cannot always tell. One more story. I came out to take out the trash, and there was a weed growing in the crack of the concrete. And I thought, that's pretty cool. That's tenacious. It's kind of a cool-looking weed. And it grew. And I didn't pay attention to it. And it grew a little more. It grew into a 15-foot tree in a matter of about 8 months. And I thought, that's a really cool-looking tree. It looked a little like a banyan tree. It had a big old giant base on it. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. And then I went out on Saturday and I was admiring the tree and noticed that it was pushing the retaining wall down into the neighbor's yard. And I thought, that's not that cool. So I cut it down. Sometimes we can't wait for God to do things. Sometimes when things are not the way they ought to be, things like hunger and bigotry and all of those things, sometimes God uses us. Not for the harvest, but that God's grace might abound. On a personal note, if anyone has a chainsaw I can borrow, please let me know. Jacob awakens on his pillow to find an awesome place. And so we awake from our sleepiness to find that God has given us this awesome place and given us grace upon grace and love upon love. That God's angels move freely up and down that ladder that we too might be salt for the earth and light for the darkness, that we too might be God's people. And God says to us each and every day, I will be with you always. Amen.